Today, I would like to look at the Word with you together. We are in the Old Testament, Daniel. The Word from chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. So please open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Daniel chapter 12, from verse 4. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the end of time. The time of the end, excuse me. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand, so I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the end of time, until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to raise your allotted inheritance. Daniel has shown us through the revelation in the rise and fall of nations, changes in power, and that there is no absolute except the Lord God. He taught us that the destination of rise and fall is the end of existing history, and there will be unprecedented hardships before that end. And we were told that at the end of time, there will be a resurrection of those who will enter eternal life and a resurrection to eternal damnation. And I just read to you verse 4, which says, O Daniel, keep this word hidden and seal this book until the end, time of the end. That was the command to Daniel. And again, keep the word of revelation that has been spoken up to this point and watch for the fulfillment of this word of revelation. He was told to seal up the book, not to hide it. This is because at the time of the resurrection, people will be looking for these words, and if we keep the book sealed up, it will be safe until that time. In the fullness of time, people seek and search for these words of truth. People pursue knowledge as being blessed. They pursue it as being informative, and they pursue salvation as being in the accumulation of informative knowledge. But the time will come when people realize the transience and emptiness of their knowledge without God, will pursue true knowledge and search for the word of God's revelation. And that is why you've been commanded to guard and keep the word of the Lord that has been given to you, to seal it up in yourself, and to live the word of God yourself, so that you can always provide that word when you need it. I've mentioned before, we're living in an age where man-made products are exceeding the amount of natural products. Perhaps there are 6,000 years or maybe 10,000 years of human history, but in the past 100 years, the nature being created by God has been eliminated. It has been dominated and destroyed by human hands. And we're living in this extraordinary situation where the amount of man-made products created by human hands exceeds the amount of natural products. If we continue to pride ourselves on the fact that the artifacts are the best of human women and human wisdom and knowledge, and we don't quit creating them at this current rate, by 2040, the amount of artifacts will be 3 times that of natural ones. I'm sure that many of you read the papers. In Australia, there is a place called Tasmania, which is about 80% the size of Hokkaido. It's also an island. But surrounding it, there's a rich kelp forest, a giant kelp forest, and 95% of it has disappeared because the water temperature has risen. Due to global warming, caused by the increase in man-made things, and especially energy, if you have been scuba diving, you know about these kelp. Kelp are like a forest in the ocean. It's like a garden of life that nourishes many fish and other creatures. And not only is it very beautiful, but if we lose the seaweed, the kelp, the ecosystem in the ocean will completely collapse. I go to the ocean and go swimming every week, and the rising sea temperatures become familiar to me than it was 14 years ago when I started surfing. And I feel the sea temperature is a little warmer even in winter. It's also been said that the problem of infectious diseases that we face now are due to the destruction of natural resources in favor of man-made artifacts. So, did the Bible just stand by and watch these things happen? Surely it did not. We have been warned over and over again, over and over again, in various Bible verses. If you don't obey God's word, if you forget about compassion, caring, and generosity towards creation, if you live only for human beings, if you do what you want and pursue only what feels good to you, you will not be able to live in peace. By not obeying God's words, forgetting His mercy, compassion, and His generosity to His creatures, we live only for ourselves and fulfill only our own desires. We pursue only what feels good to us, and now we are strangling ourselves. In the morning prayer meeting last month, we were studying the book of Exodus, and the contents of this book can be seen as a clear prediction of the state of the 21st century, though it was written 4,000 years ago. So let's look at Exodus. Chapter 23, verse 10. Exodus 23:10, "For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the 7th year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove." Here God is telling the Israelites that there is one thing they must observe in the promised land that they're about to enter, even though they will be farming and walking in it. After 6 years of cultivating the land and harvesting the crops, in the 7th year, the land must be allowed to rest, and the crops that grow naturally must not be harvested, but must be used to feed the poor and the wildlife. He advised us not to engaged in agriculture for the purpose of mass production or mass consumption, but to divide and share, not to exhaust the land more than necessary, not to produce crops more than necessary, and above all, not to forget that we are living in the midst of nature, and never forget that we need to preserve it, coexist with plants and animals and the ecosystem. Then, if we look at verse 12, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. Why is this commanded? Is it for the benefit of the workers? Of course, there is that as well. But more than that is for the sake of the cattle and donkeys who work with you. They need to rest as well. You can't treat them as though they are merely livestock, as animals, as even inorganic things that don't have breath, but treat them with respect. Care for them as friends, let them breathe. And finally, let's look at verse 19 from Exodus 23. These are the words that are written there. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. This phrase actually appears three times altogether in the Bible, also in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. It seems that the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, into which the Israelites were entering, would boil the goat in its mother's milk and eat it, or offer it as a sacrifice to idols. But this is forbidden to the Israelites. God forbade the Israelites do this, saying, no matter how much it may excite your taste buds, the wretched thing of boiling a kid in its mother's milk is against the natural laws of God's creation. The milk of the mother goat is not only nourishment for the goat, but also comfort, healing, protection, peace of mind, and the love of the mother. God adamantly opposed the act of boiling a kid in the milk of a mother goat, an act that does not show even a hint of love and is contrary to the natural laws of God's creation. This is such an unnatural thing to do. It's so against the idea of love. God asks, is love your motive and base of attitude when you do things? In recent years, you will hear a lot of talk about animal welfare, but the Bible has been saying this for 4,000 years, or in particular, since Genesis 1. And so if we care for creation and a sense of coexistence, if we obey the word of God, what will happen? So let's look at verse 25. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. If you keep the word of God, you will receive everything else that you need. We'll be blessed with bread and water and have our diseases removed. So what kind of problems are we facing now? What is the pressing need of our day? We're walking in a place where the word of God doesn't seem to exist. There's no coexistence with nature. There's an abundance of bread on one side and no bread on the other. It doesn't matter whether we talk about advanced countries or emerging markets or developing countries. It's all the same. In this generation, the next generation of wars will be water wars, it is said. And a book titled The Final War for Water Resources Has Begun has been published. The whole world is experiencing sudden floods caused by climate change. The sea level is rising, making it impossible to live in many of the places we are used to living. That's the kind of water damage, water disaster that is happening to us these days. We are not able to live with nature. Looking at the globe as a whole, we are not in a place where we can bless bread and water at all. And one of the problems is the infectious diseases that we currently face. Instead of getting rid of the disease in you, as the word of God promises in Exodus, the whole world society is revolving around the value system of capital is everything without love, care, and respect for God's creation, nature, including plants and animals, leading to a situation where disease spreads among us. Disease is spreading among you, says God. So what happens if you do not keep and do the word of Lord? This is what we are now experiencing, the fulfillment of the word of God. We talk about the words recycling society, but this is a very recent thing and not truly part of our world. But the words of revelation that God spoke 4,000 years ago to the Israelites during the Exodus are advanced words that apply perfectly even today. They are the attitude and way of life that is required today. The words of the Bible are not old-fashioned, inappropriate. It is not just an obscure religious book. It is the cutting-edge word that transcends time and space and deserves to be protected as a top priority all time and in all circumstances. Daniel was told to hold fast to the word of God until the end of time and watch for the fulfillment of the word. And so we are told to do the same. This is the time of the end, when even Christians are not looking to the Bible for answers, but to the words of others, to books written by others, by information from others, to their own senses and own experiences. That's the age we are in now, and it is the age of the end. And that's why the words that Daniel spoke, keep these words, guard them, live by them, and watch over them for their fulfillment, are so important to us. They come close to us and are near to our problem. If we leave aside the world for now, what is the most serious problem for Christians? It is that the words of the Bible, the word of God's revelation, have not become the most important foundation of their lives. Is it the foundation of your lives? Is it the most important thing to you? If it doesn't move you, doesn't make your heart tremble, doesn't make tears flow, doesn't make you encounter Jesus through his word, but makes your heart go blank and you can't understand it, is it such a book? Even so, it is far more important to wrestle with God over a single verse of the Bible, to search out what God's will is, to pray about what God is trying to say to me through these words, and to practice what I'm taught. That's so much more important than reading large amounts of the Bible. Understanding each individual verse is what reading the Bible is all about. No matter how much you read in the Bible, it will not touch your heart. You will not meet Jesus unless you are immersed in the words of the Bible and go deep into it. Even just one verse, try wrestling with God in those words. This is what Daniel did. Daniel appears to Jesus. Jesus appears to Daniel and speaks to him. So let's look at verses 5 to 7 in Daniel. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time." When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. Daniel is given this word of revelation in a vision on the banks of the Tigris River, and he sees angels standing on this bank and that bank of the Tigris, and he sees a man in a flaxen robe on the waters of the river. As we have seen before, the person in this flaxen or linen robe seems to be the Lord Jesus, based on Jesus' appearance in the book of Revelation, who was wearing a robe that hung down to his feet. And when Daniel encounters Jesus, he asks, "Now that you have shown me the end of the world and the tribulation of the faithful that will accompany it, when will it happen and when will it end, I ask?" He asks this of Jesus, and Jesus replies, "It will come to pass in a time, and in 2 hours and in half a time. At the end will be the end of the intense persecution and suffering that the holy people and believers will experience because of their faith, and all the worlds will be fulfilled." The time, two times and half a time that are mentioned here refer to a period of about 3.5 hours, or 3.5 years from December 15th, 168 BC, when Antiochus IV Epiphanes, the tormentor of the Israelites, forbade the worship of the temple, worship in the temple in Jerusalem, until December 25th, 165 BC, when the worship of the temple was restored upon the death of Epiphanes. It says this refers to a time of tribulation for the Israelites, which lasts from December 168 to December 165, when the temple worship was restored with the death of Epiphanes. In a broader sense, it could be interpreted as referring to the time leading up to the end of the world in an abstract way. The Christians who have gone through their faith will be rewarded by God, according to Jesus, in his appearance to Daniel in this passage. That's what he's teaching us. And as I said in my last message, the important here is not when, but how to live in the face of an end that is coming with certainty. Jesus' words from verse 8 onward express this well. Daniel says in verse 8, "I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, 'What will the outcome of all this be?' He replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the end of time.'" Excuse me, until the time of the end. "Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." Daniel says, "I don't understand. Please explain in detail." But Jesus replies, "Go, Daniel." He doesn't give a detailed explanation. He just says, "Go." Even though Daniel was a devout believer and had been fasting and praying for enlightenment for 3 weeks, he did not understand the details of God's word of revelation. So what did Jesus say to Daniel? He said, "But that's all you need to know. So go back to your daily life. Go back to the scene of your life and live out your life as a Christian. And never leave the word of God because you don't understand it. But guard it so that it doesn't deteriorate, and watch over it as it is fulfilled from time to time. Wait and watch. The word will be fulfilled bit by bit." Consider verse 10. He says to Daniel, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." He doesn't leave Daniel alone, but he also says, those who have been trained by the hand of God, the wise, those who fear and revere God and rely on the wisdom that he gives them will understand. So God doesn't tell us every single detail right now. When Daniel says, "I don't understand," he doesn't say, "Then I will make you understand," but rather, "Go, Daniel." He says, "Go, Daniel," not because you understand, but he says go even if you don't understand. He does not say you will never understand the word of revelations that have been spoken to you, but rather the wise will understand. He says the wise will understand. You are wise in my eyes, and the time will come when you will understand. So go now with peace of mind. There will be a time when you understand. So for now, have peace. Go out with peace of mind and do what you need to do. There is a time for everything, says Ecclesiastes. There are times when we can understand and times when we cannot. There are times when we can decipher the word and times when we cannot. Sometimes people's advice falls on deaf ears, and sometimes on ears that hear. There are times when my parents' advice seems like depressing nonsense, and times when I think they were right. And usually, the times when I can understand, decipher, hear, and feel that they were right are when I have gone through difficulties, when I have felt the limitations of living on my own, and when I've had the tingling experience that there is no one else that I can criticize. There are times when you can't see and can't hear what is meant. And then you need God's Word. God's Word will heal you. It will bring you truth. If you understand that, then God's Word will comfort you. If we think that even if we eat food and exercise well, meet good people, gain knowledge, learn skills, be healed of illnesses, and find small blessings in small things, you know that your heart deep down inside is not satisfied. You are cringing and scared, you are rattled, irritated, and anxious. And in the end, with nowhere to go, I hung my head before God and prayed with tears and snot running down my face. So what we can understand now is not everything. There are things that we can understand in the future, and in order to be led to the place where we can understand, we have a faith responsibility to fulfill. Let's look at the second epistle to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The more we are persecuted, the more we desire to live devoutly in Christ Jesus, which is our responsibility as Christians. So what does it mean to live devoutly in Christ Jesus? So now let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we are brought with nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Here Paul is talking to those of us who are able to fly even, and who are so rich here in Japan. But the religious responsibility of we Christians not to live for the purpose of being rich in this world, but to accumulate things that would be a good foundation in the world to come, it is to obtain true life. We are supposed to live as though we were kings, that we are to have that compassion and grace. We are a people who are like kings, to sit on the throne of heaven with Christ. So we use our earthly walk to master and practice our responsibility. Daniel fulfilled it, his responsibility of faith. And we too are to fulfill it. This is how we are to walk our lives. And it's not to our credit, but only God's mercy, compassion, and grace. And in the end, the wise ones who have been made whole, they understand. They will understand his word, the work of his hand, and the way of the world. If we return to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Jesus gives the power of understanding in all things to those who are wise, who fear the Lord, and who desire to live devoutly in Christ Jesus. In this world, there's nothing so complicated. We often say it's complicated and I can't understand it, but in fact, it's quite simple. It's all about God, whether it's God's or not God's. It's the difference between being passionate about the things of God and being passionate about the things with or not. So let's return to the end of Daniel. The final words in his book. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. And as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. There's nothing complicated here. These numbers, 1,290 or 1,335, the number of days may be complicated, but actually there's nothing complicated. If 1, 2.5 times in verse 7 are 3.5 years, then 1,290 days is 3.5 years plus 1 month. In other words, what is this plus 1 month? It is that the torment of the Israelites by Antiochus Epiphanes will not end suffering the believers, but will continue to be a torment to the Christians until the end of the world. But blessed are those who endure the suffering and try to live devoutly in Christ Jesus and reach the 1,335th day. 1,335 days is 45 days added to 1,290 days. Some see the 45 days as the number of days between Christ's crucifixion and then his resurrection, and finally his ascension into heaven. If we follow that interpretation, then we can say that the blessed are those who endure hardship, die with Christ, and live with him. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, he says, "Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." So the place where Christians who died, endured, and became kings with the true Christ are in Daniel 12:13. "As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." So the answer to the question, where are Christians going with their lives? The answer to this question, how are Christians going to live, are these words in Daniel 12:13. You've perhaps seen the movie or watched the book about Narnia, the four children who become kings in that land. Christians who have died, endured, and become kings with the true Christ are not those who rest in this world, but those who walk toward the land of assignment that God will give them in order to enter into true rest in the world to come. This world's real estate is not our inheritance. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." The inheritance of the kingdom is promised to those who walk in the service of Christ. Now, Daniel was assured by Jesus, "You will overcome the battle of faith in this world, and you in the world to come. You will inherit the inheritance God has given you, the promised land, the kingdom, and you will enter into true rest." And here we are going to finish our study of the book of Daniel. Daniel is seeking, or God is seeking Daniel in this present age, here in Japan, and he is setting up many Daniels. And he has sent his heavenly angels to protect them. Do you hear this as foolishness? Or do you understand that God is here and alive with us? Daniel and his friends do not give up their faith for riches and glory of the world. They don't live for earthly prosperity. They focus on the world to come. That's how they live. It doesn't mean we will be recluses and withdraw from the world, because it is the world that God the Father loved so much that he gave his only son Jesus. We don't want to be in tune with the world, but we must treat it with love. We do not lead people to ourselves. We lead them to God, to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Even if we have great power in this world, it's not for that power that we live. It is that the power is for God's use. And finally, we are called to a place where we will enter into rest. So let us imitate the truly blessed life of Daniel as described in the book of Daniel. Let us walk together as modern day Daniels, thankful that we have a task that the Lord Jesus expects us to do. So let us pray. God, as we live here in the world, in our culture, you teach us that there are things that we need even more. That it's your word, that as we can hear your word, you will break down walls and we will be able to understand the depth of your word. Please fix it in us engrave it on our hearts. As we wish for your guidance, may we live as people like Daniel, who seek only you. Please guide us in that. You have given us the words that we need, and we give you thanks. We listen to our own words or to the words of others and follow them. We seek only our own gratification. But then we don't understand what the meaning of anything is. Instead, help us to walk a walk of faith in you. And in the end, please guide us to where we can have rest. We give you thanks, and in the name of our only saving Lord, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.